read and hear more about important news, events, and public policy debates at ncnewsline.com. This is News and Views.
Welcome to News and Views. I'm your host, Rob Schofield. There's a very good argument to be made that the United States should guarantee free and universal early childhood education from birth to all American kids. Nations that invest in the care of young children when their minds and bodies are still developing see vastly improved outcomes later on. Sadly, the U.S. is not yet one of those nations. Instead, it consigns millions of pre-kindergartners each year to a patchwork of private providers of widely varying quality, most of which operate on a financial shoestring. Those looking to understand this system, its flaws, and the ways it should be improved would do well to follow the work of Dr. Steve Barnett at the National Institute for Early Education Research at Rutgers University. Recently, the Institute released its annual State of Preschool report, and as I learned in a recent chat I had with Barnett, even in this flawed national system, North Carolina is a state that comes in well below average. Well, Steve Barnett, welcome to News and Views. Thanks so much for being with us.
Thank you for having me here.
You recently released your State of Preschool report, which tracks preschool enrollment, funding, quality across the states. North Carolina ranked a pretty lackluster 29th in the nation for preschool enrollment. What are some things that our leaders really have to work on to improve access to high-quality preschool in our state? It's still well below pre-pandemic highs, right?
I think that policymakers and the public in North Carolina need to really understand that getting preschool right isn't easy. People talk about, oh, they learn their ABCs, their numbers, and then they have fun. And yes, but those aren't actually the important things, except maybe the fun part.
Yeah, sure.
Preschool really is part of laying the foundation for later success. And we know if we get it right, we can lay such a sturdy foundation that it has a lifetime of benefits. Children will be more successful in school. They'll have fewer social problems. They'll get along better with other people. They'll stay out of trouble with the law because of those things. They'll be higher earners and more productive. They'll actually live longer, in part because they'll go on to get higher education. They'll be better at managing their health and those things. But to do that, you need to have a truly high quality program. And that takes money. And that really is the root of the problem. Trying to do this on the cheap.
Yeah, well, we see, of course, so many of our preschool and childcare workers in North Carolina repeatedly leaving their jobs to go work as baristas at Starbucks or, you know, Target, because the pay is just remains sort of obscenely low. And there's no other way to get after that, it would seem, than trying to figure out a way to provide greater subsidies, because obviously parents are paying what they can.
But that's exactly right. And post-pandemic, that bottom end of the wage market, which is where early childhood is, unfortunately, right. It's about the lowest paying professional job you can find. Wages have become much more competitive. There are a lot more options. We have no alternative if we want to attract good teachers than to pay them more. If we don't, you find yourself where North Carolina is. 15% of the preschool teachers are long-term substitutes. And that means you're hiring people for less money, but they're not fully qualified. And right. And in many cases, they're new teachers. And we know that if there's any teacher who's having trouble, it's a new teacher, right? There's a big learning curve. You don't learn at all in school, much as a professor. I'd like to think we could do that. That's not the way it works.
Yeah, practice, practice, practice in so many professions. And of course, we're down here in North Carolina, right? Spending per child, including federal COVID relief funding, is actually down in the 2022-2023 school year, down $1,200 per student when adjusted for inflation. And I trust that's contributing to the challenge we face here.
Absolutely. North Carolina spends less than $7,000 per pupil as a state. If we try to figure out what other money goes in there, it's maybe $8,500, certainly under $9,000. To do it right probably costs about $12,000. Shock, that happens to be almost exactly what Head Start spends, and it's somewhat less than what North Carolina spends on K-12.
You alluded to this earlier. Listeners may initially think, 3 and 4 year olds, we're helping them as they have fun and they're taking care of them while their parents work. But again, there are tremendous amounts of long-term benefits. You've alluded to many of those, but I wonder if there's any that really stand out to you that research has really lifted up as one of the long-term benefits that we can really point to as a direct result of investing in quality early childhood education.
I think one of the strongest is educational attainment, right? So we have the strongest causal evidence for recent programs that even 1 year of preschool can make a substantial difference in the percentage of kids who graduate from high school, go to college, and complete a degree. And we know that what state doesn't want to do that for its population? The future is investing in our people. And it's at both ends of the K-12 spectrum, but it's important to lay that foundation if you want to succeed later.
This is something I've written about many times. It seems so obvious to me as admittedly a layperson, an outside observer, that there are countries in the world in which education from birth through college, or at least through graduation from high school, is sort of just a given. It's a state provided service. It's a universal education for all preschool. Maybe that's an idea that's starting to catch on in our country. At least I saw where New Mexico has made some progress in this realm. Is that really perhaps the ultimate answer here would be a quality, universal early childhood education that's provided by the state free of charge?
Absolutely. And I think it is catching on. It's ironic because I've been following this for 20 years that North Carolina was once a leader that we would point to as this is the place that gets it right. They're investing in quality. They're increasing the number of kids. And then today you see North Carolina serving fewer kids than it did 5 years ago, lowering the quality standards because the amount of money being provided isn't a fit, but you can't do it. So the legislature's reaction has been to, well, let's increase class size. We'll get more money per teacher. And yes, that'll help pay the teachers, but it means the kids are getting less of what it is you want. There's a new wave across the country, New Mexico, Colorado, California, Hawaii, Michigan, Illinois, New Jersey, my own state, that are investing in universal pre-K and moving far ahead of North Carolina. So we have this widening inequality among states. Alabama is leaving North Carolina in the dust. Mississippi has just put itself on the path to do that. People really have to say, can we really not afford it when Mississippi and New Mexico are out investing us in young children?
We're talking with Steve Barnett, who's the senior co-director of the National Institute for Early Education Research at Rutgers University. We're talking about, of course, early childhood education and how North Carolina's falling behind. I wonder, Steve, is there an ideological component to this? You could just say it's cheapskate politicians who don't want to fund government, which is a problem in North Carolina. But I wonder, do you ever encounter those on perhaps the political right who just are somehow ideologically opposed, period, to the idea of public early childhood education and, you know, mom should stay at home and take care of the kids? Is that part of the problem?
You know, for the most part, I don't think so. Because if you look at the states who were first out with universal pre-K at high standards and who have stayed the course, West Virginia, Oklahoma, Georgia. Arguably, Georgia is increasingly a, quote, purple state. Mm-hmm. But when they started this, they were pretty solidly conservative. And I think Georgia's still pretty solidly conservative. Yet Georgia just put $100 million new funding in the program to make sure they can expand and raise quality at the same time. I think conservatives understand and have just as much interest in investing in their people, understanding the future is the people who live in our state. If we want a vibrant, strong democracy and economy, we need to invest in our children. It's as simple as that. And they get it. I think it's just politicians from the full spectrum are subject to wishful thinking. We don't really need to spend the money. That's one of the remarkable things about your neighbors in Alabama. Yeah. They renamed their program first class, right? It's a play on words. It's the
sure.
first class, but they also wanted to recognize, acknowledge, and kind of take credit for the high quality of their program. Preschool is, maybe it's not quite like football in Alabama, but I think they have the same kind of state pride in it.
Maybe we need to bring the basketball tradition in North Carolina to bear on that, perhaps. Obviously, your study has been released at a time in which right now we're looking at something we're calling the childcare cliff in North Carolina. We've got these stabilization grants that were used during the pandemic to sort of keep doors open and just basically keep the schools functioning. And literally, the reports we get are that thousands of centers could literally go out of business in North Carolina if we don't get some action from our state legislature. They're actually coming into session this week as we record this for their spring short session. And the cliff looms, right, in June? Am I right about that?
I don't know what happens. That's a kind of a scary thought, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, unimaginable.
We don't know. I would say overall, parents don't have trouble finding childcare, right? We have record high employment. Parents can find childcare. The question is whether what they can find and afford on their own is good for their kids. And we've seen this experiment before in places like Quebec, where they've kind of pushed everybody into low-cost childcare, high employment, and the next 15 years were a disaster for kids. And so that's what the legislature needs to be thinking about, not just can parents go to work, but can parents go to work and have their kids receive what they need to thrive and be productive in the next generation? Because otherwise, we're going to be paying the price for a very long time of not giving our kids what they need.
We're talking with Steve Barnett, who's the senior co-director of the National Institute for Early Education Research at Rutgers University. So Steve, bottom line, it sounds like our legislature's coming back into session. They've got a big budget surplus. Hard to imagine anything that they could spend the funds on that would do more for the long-term well-being of our state than ramping up and lifting up the quality of our preschool programs in the state.
As an economist, I've been studying this for about 40 years, and it's very clear underinvesting, cheap early childhood programs are just a missed opportunity. You're just spending money. You're not really helping anybody. If you don't put enough money into it to get the return so that kids really do better, they're healthier, they have stronger social emotional skills, they do better in school. If you don't set up that path, it's like you're trying to get a rocket into orbit. If you don't have the booster to escape gravity, you're just throwing money away. Why would you keep doing that? And in some ways, that's the approach of increase class size, decrease spending, get more kids in. You're just shooting more rockets up there that aren't going to escape the pull of gravity. We need a different strategy, not just North Carolina, but certainly in North Carolina.
Sounds like an Apollo program of some kind would be warranted to get our kids off into the orbit they need to get into.
We keep saying things like it's not rocket science. But rocket science, really, you know, if you think about the analogy, could help us out here.
Steve Barnett is the senior co-director of the National Institute for Early Education Research at Rutgers University. Steve, the website, NIEER.org, is that the good place to go to read about the state of preschool in our country?
You go to NIEER.org. You can read about the entire country. You can pick your state. You can see how you compare to other states. North Carolina serving just over 20% of the four-year-olds now. The national average is up to 35. And some states serve virtually every kid at 3 and 4. That's a huge divide.
As you say, states leaving us in the dust. It's time to get to work. And we really appreciate the prompt, hopefully, that this report will give to our state leaders. But please keep up the good work. We'll look forward to checking back in and maybe talking about some good news later in the year.
Hope to be able to do that. Thanks.
Coming up next, a state senator joins me for a special two-part conversation about some of the key issues facing state government. Don't go away.